All in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placing her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older one, and Jesus was left alone with the women standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Women, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." And again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus, this is a section from chapter 8, and from chapter 6 through 8, you know, Jesus was beginning to teach about something that is very important, just that is centered around different festivals, Jewish festivals. And here he wanted to really teach them, this world is pure dark. This world is pure dark, and it's not safe for you to walk by yourself. You will always fall. But I came to bring the light to you guys, so that if you follow me, you will always have light, and you will not stumble no more. You will not stumble no more. And chapter 1 begins to say that, you know, the Jesus came, but no one received him, because they were so spiritually blinded. They could not see the Messiah they've been waiting for. You know, Bible is very clear that this world has been plagued. And because of that, this world became dark, spiritually dark and spiritually dangerous, not safe place for all. And Bible is very clear now how to describe this world in three different ways. One is iniquity, one is transgression, one is sin. And let me read to you another story that is very similar to this one, which is when King David also committed adultery. And after he was committed adultery, and he was rebuked by the one of the prophet Nathan, and Nathan came and said, "You did that." And he was brokenhearted, and he goes before the Lord, and he cries out, and he writes this in Psalm. This is Psalm 51, as we read earlier. Let me read this for you. In Psalm 51, verse 1 through 2, this is what he said. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." There's iniquity. There is sin, there is transgression. What is transgression? Transgression is the Hebrew word for transgression is the pasha. Pasha is John, can you come to me? John, yeah, the pasha is this, simply as that. He is my friend. We shake on it, right? But then he betrays me. When I turn around and say that he betrays my trust, right? He say that he's my friend, but then he steal my stuff, right? He's my friend. He goes around talking on my behalf, on my back, right? And that is, he pesha with me, that he betrayed my trust. That is what transgression is. But John is a really great guy. He will never do that. Yeah. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is such as this right now in the act of adultery, doing something very immoral. Doing something that is very immoral. lying, right? Stealing, right? And stuff like that. And in this case, adultery. And sin, in the very basic understanding, the foundation, essence form of definition, it is falling short, missing the mark. I think a lot of you guys heard about it. The sin is missing the mark. So what is missing the mark? Missing the mark, the standard of that God has for us, which is very simply, love God and love others. That's it. The Bible can be extracted into two simple formula, love God and love others. But we fall short of that, and therefore we sin against it. So in this very act of adultery, King David, he committed adultery against one of his general's wife. He broke the trust that he has with his man. He did something very immoral, that's iniquity, right? And he sent his word to kill his general to cover up, right? So therefore, he fall short of loving God and loving others. So that's what he's talking about here. You know, wow, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, my immorality, and cleanse me from my sin. I fail to love you. I fail to love others. And blot out my transgression. I betrayed my general, my friend. And there's nothing I can do to make it good again. Please forgive me, because I am in the middle of this big mess right now. And this world is a big mess. Let me say that. Ever since the sin came in, ever since the fall of humanity, this world has been nothing but a big mess. What is the very first thing that happened? The brother killed his own brother. Does that sound like a safe place? Not at all. What happened after that? More people killing others. Again, 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 people are cheating others. People, you know, the civilization began to grow, and what happened? You know, the people without power now rules over people without power. Injustice happened. Does that look very safe place? Not at all. If you go out to the streets, we see a lot of brothers and sisters. One time we went out there on Saturday, and we ran into this couple who just got kicked out because they could not pay the rent. And, you know, as you walk around the street, when you hear the news like that, and you know that this place has become a very unsafe place for all of us. Yeah, this place became a very unsafe place. And that's because of sin, because iniquities, that because of transgression that came along, that became part of us, that's in us. We are not to blame the society. We are not to blame others. But what I'm saying to you right now is that that is in you. You are dangerous. Because that sinful DNA that has been inherited in you. You do sometimes, don't you find yourself doing very dangerous things against yourself? You know that you should not lie because you're going to get caught, but you still do that anyway. You fall into certain things in your life here and there, and you know that's very dangerous, but you continue to make wrong choices every day, leading you to the place of very, very dangerous. You yourself is dangerous. Everybody is dangerous. And this world has become a very unsafe place. That's what it is. But we call it, Jesus called it darkness. Dark. And Jesus said, I came to bring the light. I finally came to bring the hope in this world that is dangerous. And let me do this for you guys. Let me create safe atmosphere. Let me create safe atmosphere. And what did Jesus do? This is what God has been promising all this time. God promised that my servant, in the book of Isaiah, my servant will carry. My servant will carry the iniquity of this world. 2 Peter 2:24, it says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How did Jesus create safe atmosphere? By carrying the mess for us. You know, one of the ways that God allowed the punishment to fall to people who have gone wicked ways is to allow them to eat their own fruit of wickedness. That's how they did it. Okay, you want to continue to sin against, you want to continue to, you know, doing all these wrong things. I'm calling you to come back. If you do that, you're going to eat your own fruit of your work and your deeds. People had to eat their own fruits of their deeds of wickedness. But then Jesus came, I will eat that for you. I will eat that for you. I'll share with you, I think last year, right, my wife was here at the time. My son, who was 5 years old, right, he's 10, but at the time he was 5, and he was complaining about a lot of food. It was the time he was just complaining for this complaining sake, and then he would just put the food in his mouth, and he would just throw out, because he's like, I don't want to eat this. And then my wife, and she's very diligent, is a good mom, and then she's like, wow, we really have to fix this problem. So you're going to teach him a lesson. And then she said, whatever the food that he threw up on the table, she told my son, you're going to eat that. Whatever he threw out there, you're going to eat it, right? And I was like, Jude, we're having such a good dinner. Why did you have to do that, right? And he was trying to eat that. I was like, oh, no, like, right? So I was like, I don't know what to do in this situation. And so like, but you, just son, you have to eat your food, right? And then I was going around and vacuuming the house, and I saw him in the corner of my eyes, right? He is trying to eat that, but then he was like, he just go, right? He's just like, he was not able to do it. And then, but then while I was vacuuming away, right? While I was vacuuming away, something comes to my heart, and it's God speaking to me. And I was like, I was getting inspired. Wow, if I were to eat that for him, wow, it'll be a really great story of gospel. It'll be a story of gospel being relived, right? I was like, and this will be a great lesson for him that he will take away with his life for the rest of his life. He will remember that. He will think about the gospel story. I was like, wow. And I was like, but then it was just thought, right? I was like, just vacuuming away. And then I was torn. But then, bam, just like that, the voice comes to me as like, eat it. Eat it. I was like, God, is that you? It's been a long time since we talked. Is that you, right? Eat it. Eat it. I was like, okay, I'm going to eat it. I put down my vacuum cleaner, and I went over to him. And son, I talked to him about Jesus, of course. I have to do that. But I know what you did was wrong, but you know what? Daddy will eat that for you. But now, go wash up, tell your mom that you're sorry, and never do that again. So he's walking up the steps. I'm collecting in the rice bowl with all the stuff that he threw up. I ate it, right? I ate it. I was going to die. Yeah, I ate it. I was like, God, thank you for your grace, right? And this tastes bad, right? Yeah, I ate it, right? How did Jesus create the safe atmosphere? By eating the fruit of our own wickedness. He carried that, our sins, on himself, and he died. He carried our burden. That's how he created safe atmosphere. That's how he created a safe atmosphere. And brothers and sisters, this is now what we are called to do in Jesus Christ, and He left this legacy for you and me. Not just for me, but for all of us. We have this beautiful legacy for us to carry on now. We are now to go and create safe atmosphere in this world. Where? Look to each other. Look towards each other. The distance between you and the person next to you, I call that mission field. I see that as mission field. The mission field is nothing more than the distance between you and the person next to you. You know, when Jesus told his disciples, go, he said, go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, right, and go to the ends of the world. The church is mission field. The person next to you, that space is mission field. In those spaces, you have to create a safe atmosphere by carrying the burden of each other. That is what now God has called you and me to do. We are called to carry others' burden. So let me go to the Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. Now, the context is, once again, transgression, which is breaking the trust. Right? This is now this is what happened in the community of faith in church. It says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, right, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burden. And so fulfill the law of Christ. You got to follow that? What was the law that Jesus Christ have given you and me? The command that he has given you and me, what was it? To love others. This new command I give to you, love others as I have loved you. Now you go and carry each other's burden. People are plagued with the sin, iniquities, and transgressions. We've been good at making this place very not safe, right? I don't know what happened, but when I take the Golden Gate Bridge to go home and then go back home, and then my goodness, almost every night there is accident. And you know that these days one of the number one reason why there is accident is because people use phones. I'm not saying that that's what they did, but I think that is one of the number one reasons. You know why should they shoot? Use the phone. When they use their phone when they're driving, they're breaking the trust. They should drive safe. They should keep their hands on the wheel. They should fix their eyes on the road, right? But they're breaking the trust. When you do something else besides that, you're creating what? Breaking the trust and creating the road very hazardous place, very not safe place. And then someone else will have to carry the burden. Wow. What do you do? As something that I thought about we can do together is that as a life group in your own life, as we talked about earlier, writing letter to our brother and sister who are being persecuted, right? They are carrying this burden of this world and the wickedness of the sinful humanity, and they're carrying this, right? And they're being imprisoned. They're in need of encouragement. They're in need of hands. So what we do, we yoke with them. We said, I will stand up with you. I will carry this burden with you. And we remind them there's people who are praying for them. We remind them there's people who care for the community of God and who are also willing to stand up for the same cause that God has called you and me. And also call them to stand up, which is what? To love, to share the good news with them, bring the kingdom of God. They are in the business of creating safe atmosphere in a very hostile place. Despite of all that, we saw the testimonies of Hananel, right? They continue. My brothers, my son and daughter, my husband is now waiting for me to finish this race strong. I will continue to carry the burden of this world. Jesus, who was Jesus Christ? He carried the sins, the weight, the burden of this world. That's what he did. So one second thing that I really want to strongly encourage every single one of you is this. Saturdays we go out on the brown bag outreach. You know, injustice is something that plagued the Israelites. In the Sodom and Gomorrah, the two very, very famous cities that was destroyed by God's wrath as judgment. And they say that this city was filled with injustice. What was injustice? The justice that God said is missing was this. They are not taking care of each other. They are not taking care of each other. Let the poor be poor. Let the widow be suffer. Let the orphans suffer. Injustice that I see. You know, I told you before that the size of a town at the time, the village, normal town, the size of the village at the time was about the size of the parking lot of Safeway. It's very small. No, everybody knows what goes on their neighbor. They turn their blind eyes to. And God called that injustice. Injustice happened in this world. Why? Why? Because they're missing the mark. It's sin. Right? They're breaking the trust. So what are we to do? We are to go out there and now be willing to carry the burdens of brothers, sisters who are outside, who are suffering, where there is no justice. We bring justice of God and say, wow, this is in the name of Jesus Christ we come. We love you. We share this good news with you guys and share the love of Jesus Christ with you. That's how we carry the burden for them and create a safe atmosphere. At home, what we do, we have a lot of youth groups here. We have younger folks who are still with their parents. Let me say this again. Your mom and dad are never going to lecturing you, right? They're never going to lecturing you and what you are to do. The Bible says, honor and respect your parents. Honor and respect your parents. Sometimes you know that they speak to you, you know, some out of their own anxieties, out of their own anguish, and and what do you do? Their parents are sinful as you are, and sometimes they make mistakes. You carry the burden for each other. You accept, embrace, you're willing to forgive. That's why we carry the burden for each other. And between the spouses, between your friends, you know, people, because of a sinful nature, people continue to make wrong choices, and you are left with a burden. And what do? Just Jesus has called us, we forgive, we embrace, we tolerate. This, you know, that the word tolerate was given to you and me through Jesus Christ. God called us to tolerate in a place where there can be no forgiveness, where you feel really like dead inside when it comes to the issue of this person. Jesus said, tolerate. The Bible says he endured for you and me. Jesus Christ endured for you and me. You know, that word endured in the Hebrew means that enduring something that is very uncomfortable. He endured all that for you and me. And now you and I are to endure even some of the most unfavorable situations or things in your life, carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ and creating safe atmosphere. And by doing that, by being obedient to this, now we allow Holy Spirit to come and work through us. Where there is nothing but darkness, now we bring light. Where there is no injustice, we now bring justice. Now where there is no love, we bring love. Where the faith has been broken, we now restore the faith. Therefore, we are participating in the ministry of Jesus Christ together. And that's what we are to do. I hope that is what you will continue to experience together, talk about and rehearse together in your own life group and in your own life as you go back home. Because we truly live in a place where it is very not safe, filled with darkness. Whenever you see that, whenever you see darkness coming at you and this burden coming at you, you know that it's time to create safe atmosphere and trust Jesus Christ and allow Holy Spirit minister through you. Let's pray together.